This week's message is titled, Controlling the Uncontrollable. The reading is Romans 8, 5-11. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you.
So there's an interesting story in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, there are four stories that go back to back to back to back. And it's interesting how Mark sets this up. He says that Jesus was tired. He had been teaching for a long time, month after month. People were following him. And some of the things that Jesus was saying really upset other people, even his own family. And it's interesting that in Mark chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, "And when the family of Jesus heard about what he was saying, they went to take charge of him, for they said he is out of his mind." It's a pretty remarkable scripture. Joseph, Mary, both visited by angels, both spoken to. This is your child that's going to be born of God, and he's going to be the Messiah. But he sure was saying things and doing things that the family could not comprehend, to the point that they said, he's a crazy man. He's out of his mind. And so Jesus hears all of this, and what does he do? He just keeps on preaching. He just keeps on speaking. And so what happens is, and I want to share with you four brief but very familiar stories that many of us learned in Sunday school, and some of us have learned even just recently. Mark records them back to back to back. I'm not going to read every word. I will just share the story that you know very, very well. So after the accusation by Jesus' own family against him, what does Jesus do? He keeps speaking. He keeps sharing parables. He keeps sharing stories. And then evening comes, and he's exhausted. And he's with his friends. He's with his disciples. And he says, let's just get away. Let's just get to the other side of the lake. And so there's boats in the water, and you know this story pretty well. And Jesus climbs into the boat, and he leaves many of the people behind. And he goes out into the boat, and of course, there are other boats there. And then it says this, and for some of you who've ever experienced this, this might grab you. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. I read this for years, and I go, oh, okay. Then one day, a good friend of mine, Glenn Whitfield, and I were going across a lake, and it happened. And I'm not going to suggest that it was a furious squall, but it scared the daylights out of me. And this scripture says it was a furious squall, so much so the waves broke over the boat so that the boat was nearly swamped. Jesus, and I know you know the story well, was in the stern of the boat, the back of the boat, and he's sleeping. And if you've had the experience of being in a boat where you think it's going to tip and you think you're not going to make it and everyone's freaking out, and here's Jesus fast asleep, no worries. So they wake him up. Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? And then Jesus gets up, and I know you know this story very well. He rebukes the wind, which is an interesting thing. He rebukes the wind, stop it. And he says to the waves, be calm. And the waves are calm. So one of the questions that some of us want to ask Jesus when we get to heaven is, can you replay this story to me? Can you tell me what it was really, really like? I mean, I read it, but tell me your view on all of this. So here's this story. Here's this event that takes place. And then they get to the other side of the lake, and they're terrified and everything else, but then they're safe. Well, you would think, okay, some calm's going to come, but calm doesn't come. They step out of the boat. They're across the lake. They enter into the region of the Gerasenes, and here they meet a man who is completely out of control. He has what the Bible says is an evil spirit, and he's living in the tombs. He's living in the cemetery, and he's driving everybody mad. He's yelling and he's screaming. And so the people rush up and they chain him. They're trying to keep him safe, but they chain him. They lock his arms, they lock his feet. And it didn't make any difference. This evil spirit was so powerful that by the time they left the cemetery, his hands are free. He just breaks the chains. He breaks the locks on his feet. He just has this amazing strength because he's out of control. The spirit is possessing him. And Jesus comes along. And in the first story that we told, there's fear because of the water swamping the boat. Here there's fear because of this man who is so out of control, terrifying everyone. It's a fearful situation. And Jesus calms him. As Jesus calmed the waters, Jesus calms him. And now the man is set free. And what does the man want to do? He says, Jesus, I want to go with you. Jesus says, no, don't go with me. Go home and tell your family what God has done for you. So you have back-to-back kind of terrifying stories. And yet Jesus is there bringing calm to both. And so Jesus keeps on teaching. So, you know, I don't know how you view Jesus. Maybe when you read the Bible and you hear Jesus teaching parables, is it like he's just kind of walking along and a group of people, and so Jesus will just fire off a story and tell it? Does he stand outside the temple and tell stories? We really don't have locations. He's just going through life, and he's just telling stories and showing people what the Word of God means by living it himself. But after all of this, so we have this boat nearly swamped. We have a man out of control, terrifying everybody. And from there, Jesus gets back in his boat, goes back over to where he was. And now there's all kinds of people around him. And a person comes to him and says, my daughter is dying. I know if you come, you can save her. And while this is going on, the situation again creates fear that so many people are coming to Jesus, it says they're crushing him. In Luke's gospel, it says they're crushing Jesus. They're putting themselves all around Jesus. And there was a woman in that crowd after the discussion of this man saying to Jesus, can you come with me? My daughter's dying. I know that you can save her. She's 12 years old. I need you to come. But meanwhile, as that's all going on, there's this crowd crushing him all around. And there is a woman who is there, like everybody else, who needs a miracle. And she was suffering tremendous illness. For 12 years, interesting that 12 is used twice in this story. For 12 years, she had been so ill and not been able to get any kind of help. In fact, it says the doctors did the best they could, but they just made it worse. I mean, they tried, but they couldn't do anything. And there's all this crowd mobbing Jesus, and you probably know the story. She thinks, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him, I think something will happen. And she reaches out and she touches him, and it says, she knew immediately she was healed. Now, if there's some comedy in this story, it's that Jesus felt in his body power leaving him to heal this woman. And so, with all this mob crushing Jesus, he turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples say, "What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone's around you crushing me." "No, Jesus, somebody touched me with faith, and my power went out to this person." So there was fear there, and then there's peace that came as well. And then the other story is a profound story. Here's this young woman, this young girl, 12 years old. She was ill, and she was about to die. In fact, she died. And Jesus comes into the room and says, "She's not dead." And then they laughed at him. "Yeah, she's dead," Jesus said. "She's not dead." And Jesus walks in and he tells the little girl to get up. And she gets up. And I think, again, maybe adding a little bit of comedy to it, Jesus said, "Give her something to eat. She's been dead for a while. Give her something to eat." I mean, it's how do you deal with all of this? It's just a remarkable story. Mark puts them back to back to back to back stories. And it's wonderful. Now for the sermon. So somebody might hear this and they're going to say this. "Well, that's a really cool story about Jesus being in a boat with his disciples and it being swamped, and yet he calms the waters. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad that Jesus got across the lake, and I'm glad that he calmed the waters, but I have a friend who went on a fishing trip with a couple of buddies, and they thought the lake was okay. It was a storm, but they thought it was going to be okay. And they didn't come back. Their boat was swamped. They never made it back to shore. Is it because Jesus didn't love them like he loved his disciples? Was it because they didn't have enough faith? Why was the disciples, why were they saved? Why was my loved one not saved? Did I have a lack of faith? Was it something that I could have done that would have stopped it? You see, we read these stories and we go, "Well done, good stuff." But if you have a loved one who was in a boat and it was nearly swamped and then it was swamped and they didn't make it back to shore, you're going to read that story and say, "Can we move on to the next one? My loved one wasn't saved." And from that story, after they get off the boat, they go into this Gerizim region, this cemetery, and this man is out of his mind and he's terrorizing everybody. He's chained hand and feet, and he breaks the chains. Nobody can do anything with them, and Jesus calms them. And someone's going to say, "Well, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that man was saved. I'm glad he was put back into his right mind. I'm glad he's acting like a normal person. I'm glad he can go back home and tell his family what Jesus had done for him. I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad. But I have a son," someone says, "who was a normal boy. He was a happy boy. He enjoyed life. And something happened around the age of 18 or 19. And the doctors can't really explain it. He just became a bitter, angry young man who didn't know what to do, who all of a sudden started having terrors at night, nightmares that were just driving him and the family insane. Doctor after doctor after doctor tried to help, and there was no help. He is out of control to this day, and we don't know if he's going to make it much longer. I'm glad that one person was better. But is it because as a parent, I don't have enough faith? Did my son do something wrong that he's this way? Doctors can't help him. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing's really getting any better. Or that story that comes next when here you have a woman who has been sick for some 12 years. She's been bleeding internally. Doctors can't seem to help. And she reaches out and touches Jesus, and she's cured. And of course, you know what we're going to say. That there are people who have been ill for a long, long time. And doctors have tried to the best that they could. And maybe, like in this story, some doctors made things worse. I don't know why my loved one got sick. I don't know. There was no hint throughout her life that somehow she would become ill. And she's ill. And we can't seem to get any help from her. There just aren't any answers. And it's difficult every day to watch her. We hold her. We love her. We do whatever we can. But she's ill. Is it because I have no faith? Is it because she has no faith? There's no one who has greater faith than her, her loved one says. And then the last story, which is the most powerful of all. And some may have had experiences like this, and I can't even fathom what this experience was like of a 12-year-old girl who becomes ill and she's dying. In fact, she dies. And Jesus said, oh, no, she's just sleeping. She's just sleeping. And they laugh at Jesus. And Jesus comes in, and when he leaves the room, she's awake, she's alive, and Jesus said, give her something to eat. I can't imagine. Maybe some of you have been there, where our child, all of a sudden, a healthy child becomes very, very ill, and nothing can be done. Someone says, and I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that that 12-year-old girl was brought back. That's wonderful. That's amazing. That's incredible. And maybe you've heard stories of that, of people who the doctors thought had died. They're back. But, my loved one died. Not back. Not going to come back. So what do you do with all of this? The Bible is great, telling us all these wonderful stories. But what do you do with the things that we've just talked about? And the answer for me is just relying and trusting on what Jesus says about death and new life. That death is never the end. And that when on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant sins are now forgiven for all people. Forgiveness of sins is available for all people. And when he said, "It is finished," a new world began. That when death occurs, it's not the end. It is not the end. Let me share with you a couple of scriptures. Revelation 21 verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is among people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes." Listen. "There will be no more death or mourning or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." It is gone. We receive this gift from God because of Christ Jesus, that death is never the end. Or this powerful scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting, too, that even in the Old Testament, it talks about God redeeming the world, renewing the world, that death will no longer be the end. Listen to this one. Psalm 49 and verse 15. But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself. Or Isaiah 26, 19. But your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Life offers us some huge challenges where any kind of explanation does not make sense. It just doesn't work, except that every person is in the hands of God, and death is not the end. Jesus proved it over and over again. May God bless us in our life when challenges come beyond explanation, beyond words, where our hearts are torn to pieces because our love is challenged because someone we love may be so ill or pass away. But in Christ, we are renewed. We are redeemed. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today thanking you so much for the love that you give us. Thank you for the stories of life events that happen to people. Thank you today for the story of your followers who were in a boat and the boat was nearly swamped and you were there to be with them. And we pray for families of loved ones who maybe have died at sea. And if there's any consolation, the consolation that in Christ we live again. And for the stories that we read today, the renewing and the redeeming of life because of you, we give you thanks. We look forward to the day when we will see our loved ones again. And there will be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.